This is Jack Vaughn for the Serverside.net. We're doing a pod techcast today. Our guest is Clemens Vasters, Community Program Manager on the Windows Communication Foundation team at Microsoft. Has vast experience in this world of software development. Was with New Intelligence AG, in fact was co-founder and CTO, and worked to build complex architected commercial software systems. Clemens has written about and been involved with BizTalk, SOAP, and Microsoft.net, and especially with the latest, most interesting element of .NET as it moves into .NET 2.0, into a new era that is the Windows Communication Foundation. Clemens, thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here, and thank you for having me.
We'd like to start by looking at WCF and WinFX, and they each seem to be, of course, very much part of one another. They seem to be big steps forward for .NET. Could you discuss some of the evolution of the thinking that led to these, is it fair to call them architectures? How would you go at it?
Well, I'm mostly qualified to speak to the Windows Communication Foundation, but let me just spend a minute to talk about WinFX. Or what we should really be thinking about is really this is a continuation of the .NET framework story as we know it. What we're building with those technologies, Windows Communication Foundation, Workflow, InfoCard, and the Windows Presentation Foundation, it's just additional pieces in the puzzle, and we're just getting the platform more complete. So the goal certainly for the presentation is to have a richer model for presenting information, something that goes beyond what we have been traditionally been doing. It's if you look at GDI and the features that GDI has and the way how GDI is built, this is something that goes back more than a decade now. And it was time to have something that respects that there's hardware out there which has 3D capability, which has acceleration technology, and of course with the different form factors that we have today in terms of displays and other considerations like printing and speech integration and all the new input technologies, it was certainly time to have a clean start and build something that is ready for the next 10, 15 years as a platform in terms of for Windows Presentation Foundation.
Okay.
And in terms of things like workflow, we clearly have found that people need to have a customization tool or a customization tooling for their applications, which is simple enough so that more people, it has broader reach to people who are not necessarily hardcore programmers. We need to have something that lets us write programs that take longer to execute, that allows us to build complex flows, really, that are hard to model with traditional code models. So there's a need for all those pieces. And for the Windows Communication Foundation to just come to my core technology that I'm speaking for, we have multiple motivations for this. One big one is certainly around unification. We have a lot of technologies out there today with remoting, with enterprise services, with ASP.NET web services, with the web service enhancements, and you could also count COM and, of course, it's MSMQ. That allow you to build distributed systems. However, you have to know, to implement certain patterns, you have to know each of those technologies or the most appropriate technology inside out to write an effective solution. So what we've tried is we try to accommodate all of those patterns that you can do, all those modes of getting data from A to B into one common shared programming model, and that's the unification bit. And then, of course, it's all about integration. 70% of all expenses that are made by our customers, by corporate IT departments, are about just maintaining and integrating existing software. And that's really a lot of money, and that's partially our fault. Our fault, meaning the industry as a whole, at least on the platform side, because we made it hard to integrate things. So now we're getting to terms across the industry to unify things on the web services standards, the web services stack, and that was something that we were driving. And I think we're getting to a point where we get even complex scenarios working, and that was the goal behind the Windows Communication Foundation.
So from a developer getting going with this, just generally, the experience, somewhat familiar, somewhat new, how would you describe it to someone you're introducing it to?
The architects who have been shaping the service model, and this is our primary development surface, so to speak, at this point. So that's our programming model. System.service model is our namespace, and this is where developers find all the things. Have taken great care of making the experience as familiar as possible to everybody. So if you are an enterprise services developer, you will find that you have attribute-driven development, and you write a class, and then you apply metadata to it using attributes or using configuration. And you know the difference between enterprise services here, which is based on Complus, and the Windows Communication Foundation, is that in Complus you do those things in Complus Explorer to do the configuration, and this ends up in the Complus metadatabase. While in the Windows Communication Foundation, it's in easily accessible XML files, but the principle is the same. So you go and apply features, and you basically wish for them, and they happen. And that's the same principle that we carry forward from what we had in Complus and what we had in, you know, all the way back to MTS, and then, of course, in enterprise services. Remoting developers will find that even though we constrain for good reasons, some of the features that exist in remoting, so you can't do reference passing, for instance, that they will find a very familiar experience. They simply write their classes, and they can create channels. They have all the wonderful extensibility that remoting has and makes it so popular. We've taken that even many steps further, so you can extend Windows Communication Foundation much more flexibly than you could extend remoting. So that's very familiar to them. They can shape the way how their endpoints or listeners work using configuration, so that's the same thing. ASP.NET developers will find that the way how we deal with declaring what is a web method in ASP.NET terms, or now an operation contract in our terms, carries forward very easily. Going from ASP.NET to the Windows Communication Foundation is probably the easiest of all processes, and we even provide continuity in that way, that if you host our services in IIS, you basically have full compatibility or great compatibility with even with features that we would like people not to use, like using HTTP contexts and all those things. So if you really want to carry your ASP.NET code forward and you want to base it on our technologies, then it's the most straightforward way.
The effort sometimes around, you know, architect is a hot job title these days, and at the same time, SOA, or service-oriented architecture, has been much discussed. That implies, services imply a sort of light or loose coupling of a code or objects. Give me a sense if in any way the Windows Communications framework effort is an attempt to embed SOA best practices, or what can you say in that regard?
For that, I need to take a step, really step back and clarify terminology.
That's fine.
When we talk about the Windows Communication Foundation and what it does for an application in terms of decoupling concerns from the server side and the client side. We talk about the principles of service orientation, which are our four tenets, which are policy-based compatibility, explicitness of boundaries, we exchange contract and schema, and we avoid coupling. SOA is something that is a more lofty term that's used throughout the industry to define everything or nothing. It also starts with SO and also says service-oriented. But it turns out that if you poke into the story and what people start to mean by this is they don't talk about software architecture at all. Very many people who talk about SOA talk about business and IT alignment, which sort of falls into the same area, but this is really about aligning business functions with software functions. Service orientation and the notion of web services is something that can greatly help implementing this alignment between the business and IT, but it happens on a lower level. The notion of SOA has done nothing new for software architecture. So that's the fundamental. So this is just, I just want to make very clear the differentiation that we have between service orientation, which is a principle about loose coupling and how to write software that is loosely coupled, and about SOA, which is the notion of aligning business concerns with IT concerns.
Well, my mention of this was in the context of the notion of services.
Yes.
I remember seeing Gosling, the Java father, one time, and he early on regretted the fact that so much of his material sort of moved towards application servers, and he said he wished people would use the term application services. And so that's kind of what I was alluding to.
Yes.
I did feel that WCF could bring about some of this in the right hands.
So and that's correct. So if you look at the and I just wanted, whenever the term SOA pops up and service orientation in the same sentence, I have the urge to speak to that.
Well, you're welcome, because it really does pop up a heck of a lot these days.
Yes,
doesn't it?
And because it's just overloaded. So let me talk about the services
sure.
services notion here and what this does. When we talk about loose coupling, this is something that's our primary concern. So if you in terms of interoperability and also in terms of making applications that stay compatible with themselves even across versions. In today's world, where you can build distributed systems where you have parts that you sell as shrink-wrapped applications, and you have servers that are running, people, even though there's the ability to update systems across the network, etc., you always have to think about the situation where you have a 2.0 client that needs to talk to a 3.0 server or 4.0 server, and you can't recompile the world once you have the software out there.
Yeah.
So that's a concern that drives us to say we need to make software that is able to still communicate even though it's on different builds, to just put it very, very simply. So what we're doing is we treat the client side and the server side, if you want to call them that way, completely separate. So there's no link between the client and the server in terms of sharing type. We only share metadata through established standards such as WSDL and schema and WS policy. So we keep those two parties completely separate to do those things. Now, underneath this is runtime. And we see ourselves really in the continuity of all the technologies that I just spoke about, because you just mentioned the application server. We are the application server, really.
Okay.
We have a way to host services inside your own process or inside an NT service or inside IIS or inside the Windows Activation Service or Windows Vista. We host your applications. We create an hosting environment for your services that you build. And with that, we really are in the continuity of MTS, Com Plus, Enterprise Services, in that we're hosting your service, and we give you all the the configuration around those things. We give you hooks into authentication systems. We give you hooks into authorization systems. We give you hooks into management. We give you hooks into all those different aspects that used to be given to you or are still given to you by Infrastructure SITECOM Plus. And, of course, we're bringing in all the good things that the other technologies, the other managed communication technologies, such as ASP.NET have, such the support, the web services support, or web WSTAR support, the web service enhancements have, and all those things we bring into this unified system. But we really are the application server. We consider our technology to be, first of all, completely architecture agnostic, fundamentally. That means if you want to build something that's perfectly well-architected, I think we can do that. If you want to build something that's incredibly stupid, we're going to be enabling to do that too. That simply says we will honor all architectural styles, and the infrastructure does that. So what do we do about data? We as a technology, we as the Windows Communication Foundation, we are mostly concerned of getting data across the wire.
Yeah.
That's what we do, and for that, and because we recognize that we need to get data across the wire, and the data may be a little bigger or smaller. We have several provisions in there which you haven't found in previous, you know, web services stacks. So we support, for instance, streaming. If you want to stream a message and the message is several terabytes long, all more power to you. You can do that. If you do it in the right way, if you want to if you have data that is binary mostly, and you carry that in your messages, you can use our MTOM encoding, and the MTOM encoding will cleverly figure out the big pieces and send them in a binary way. So it goes on, and so we think we have thought hard about making those things go fast and address all the immediate concerns that people have when they use web services. But since we're not a data access technology, we're pretty much agnostic to what you use. If you know, whatever you want, you can build. We are not creating an artificial harness or some prescription architecture around your application. If you compare that to Complus, Complus has a particular architectural style that it sort of nudges you into, and we no longer do that. What I'm saying is we don't prescribe an architecture. We enable any architecture you want to do.
Okay.
We enable. So if you want to build a queuing system, we can do that. We can do that. If you want to build PubSub, we can do that. If we want to be N-tier, we can do that. So we worked specifically and very hard to be as architecture agnostic as we could be, so that you could build everything you want on our stuff.
Thanks much, and
you're very welcome.
Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
And thank you, everyone, for listening to this ServerSide.net podcast. We note that this podcast was recorded prior to the Tech Ed in Boston earlier this summer, and it does not reflect the fact that Microsoft shifted about that time the naming for WinFX. It is now .NET 3.0. We'd be glad to hear what you have to say about this topic in this medium. We hope to do more podcasts in the future so that we can truly bring you the latest in .NET design and development. For the ServerSide.net, this is Jack Vaughn thanking you for your time.